Ye holy North American martyrs, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, that was a beautiful carol that you just sang, children. That it was a carol that was composed by one of the North American martyrs, who was considered as the strongest and the bravest, whom the braves, that is to say the Indian men themselves, admired very much for his courage. And his name is Saint Jean de Brébeuf. And I think that the tune that he took is from a part of France that I visit frequently called Brittany, which is originally part of the, what you might call the Celtic or the Irish Empire, so it's a little bit of an Irish sound to it, which is why probably it sounds so nice. But he wrote the words in the language of the Indian people so that they would be able to sing it for our Lord at his birthday, at Christmas. That was not the least of his accomplishments, was that he could write a hymn or a Christmas carol. He was able to do many, many things, as were all of the 9 North American martyrs who were priests and lay brothers and then lay helpers. They had a very hard life, you know, when they gave up the comforts of their own country in France to go across the sea in a ship for a long voyage of many, many weeks, and then to arrive in North America, where nothing, there were no roads, and of course that was way before electricity, and there were just a few log cabins in which the people lived. It was a very hard life, but they came over, they volunteered for the work because they wanted to save souls for our Lord. They were missionaries, properly speaking, missionaries. They knew it would be a hard job, but they volunteered for it. Now, the only reason they were able to be missionaries, and the only reason they were able to succeed, did they succeed? Yes, they shed their blood for Christ. And then later on, the next generation came, and they were able to baptize many Indians. The only reason they could do any of that was because of the training that they received. Not the training just in the seminary, although I'm sure that was an important part of it. I saw the seminary where, in France, where the saint who wrote the carol today, Saint Jean de Brébeuf, was a seminarian, and he certainly was a teacher there before he volunteered to become a missionary to the Indians. But it was before they even went to the seminary that these priests got their training, starting at home when they were growing up, and then all throughout their schooling years. What did they have to bear and put up with? And what training was it that enabled them to be such good missionaries? Well, for example, the Indians, when they rowed in a canoe, couldn't move. You couldn't move to the right or to the left. And you could not complain about the hot sun burning down on them, nor could you complain about the cold wind that might come at certain times, nor could you complain about the swarms of mosquitoes that would come in the summer or other bugs that would come in the fall. They had to sit perfectly still and not even shift their weight from one side to another, because if they did, they would upturn the canoe. That was one discipline that they had. And another one, during the long winter months, the only place that the Indians were in what was called the long cabins. And these long cabins, in which they all lived together, were full of smoke. It made your eyes water to go in there. And sometimes the Indians would be very immodest and also would use bad, dirty language, such as we would not even want to hear, much less use. But the fathers, the missionaries, had to overcome all of that in order to get their chance to explain the Catholic faith to these Indians a little bit at a time. And when they spoke, they often spoke about superstition. For example, they believed in the power of dreams, and that a dream, if you had a dream at night, that would determine what's going to absolutely happen that day. So they dreamt that if they killed a bear, if they had that dream that they killed a bear, then the next day they would have to go bear hunting and nothing else to be done. And then sometimes it led to terrible sins. Well, their diet was, you know, very, very difficult. The things that the Indians ate, why, the French would hardly want to eat. And sometimes it wasn't so bad, just like fruits and berries and things. But then they ate fish, and even they eat rotten fish, and they used a kind of a grease that came from bears. And it was, sometimes it made them sick even to think about eating it. But eat it they did as a sacrifice, because they wanted to go along with the Indians in every way possible, without committing a sin, of course, so as to gain their souls. And then, when the time came that the Indians grew suspicious of them and thought that they were witches or working black magic, that sort of thing, from the devil, and they blamed the good Jesuit fathers if there was bad weather or sickness or bad crops, then they tortured them, and many of them they put to death over a long period of time of most cruel torments. They would mock them and cut their skin slowly and stick things in them, and they even chewed off some of the fingers of Saint Isaac jokes. So much so that when he was able to escape and get back to France, why, they had to ask the permission of the Pope, Pope Urban VIII, for him still to offer Mass, even though they had chewed off, I think it was one index finger and one thumb and then part of another, because those are the ones only which can touch the Blessed Sacrament after the consecration of the Mass. But the Pope said, well, it wouldn't be right for someone who has drunk the blood of Christ not to offer, not, and shed his own blood for Christ, not to offer up the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And so he gave him a special permission to be able to do so. I was reading this morning about how his tortures happened. He and a lay brother, who was named René Goupil, they were being held as slaves. And one day they were able to get away from the Indians, where they had to work very hard as slaves, and to go outside the camp just to breathe a little fresh air and to be able to pray quietly. And they were saying their rosary, and they were encouraging each other, saying that, you know, pretty soon we're going to have to die as martyrs. And one would say, and then the other would say, yes, Father, and let's make our last word to be the holy name of Jesus. So they made that agreement, and they were saying their rosary when someone came from the camp, an Indian said, you better get back, they want you back there right now. And they realized this could be the time of their death. And so when they got back, they had finished 4 decades of their rosary, and they paused for a moment at the gate of the camp to see what would happen. And sure enough, an Indian had a tomahawk under his blanket, and he killed Saint René Goupil, the lay brother. And St. Isaac Jogues thought it would be his time, and he said a quick prayer, but they didn't do anything. So he ran over to the dying brother, and he gave him absolution, the forgiveness from confession. He gave him absolution, and then that brother died. And then for Isaac Jogues, he had a lot of sufferings to go through. And eventually, though, he was able to escape with the help of some Dutch Protestants, of all things. And he made a visit to New York, where he did some missionary work. And then he went back to France. And then he voluntarily went back to Canada to finish his work, where he died as a missionary. How do you think, children, how do you think these French fathers, these missionary priests, were able to sit perfectly still in a canoe without moving to the right or to the left, and have all these mosquitoes biting at them and not to swat them, and not to complain about the hard, hot sun, or not to complain about sleeping on the ground or their eyes being burned by the smoke or their ears burnt by all the bad language and talk or the horrible taste of the food? How could they have put up with all of that and then being tortured in their fingers and their skin? How much it must have hurt? Well, because they learned to do those things a little bit at a time since they were little, since they first started to grow up in a Catholic family, and when they came to Mass, they learned to sit still. They learned to be silent. They learned to offer up sacrifices. They learned not to complain. They learned to think about others. And most of all, they learned to love God with all of their heart and all of their soul, just as our Lord told us in last Sunday's Gospel, They learned a strong devotion to the Virgin Mary and the power of saying their rosary that could get them ready for even the worst things that the Indians could do to them. In other words, they learned way back then in 16th, 17th century France exactly what you children are learning today in 21st century United States of America, at your home, in your school, in your church. Maybe one of you might grow up to be a martyr. Maybe one of you might grow up to be a missionary. If you learn well, children, the lessons that your parents, your teachers, and your priests want to teach you, even though sometimes you think to yourself, I don't want to do that, or that's too much, or that's too hard, or I can't remember. No, 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 no. Everything that you learn all day, every day, is to prepare you maybe for one day doing a great thing for God. One thing is sure, children, those Jesuit martyrs would never have been successful, not at all, if they hadn't learned these lessons at home and in school and in church when they were very little, your same age. Let's do the little things well today. You know the business about when we should be quiet, to be quiet, concentrate when you should concentrate, pray when you should pray, not to complain, to sit still, all of those things, and offering up many things, so that if something big comes our way, we'll be ready too. As the Jesuits used to say, it was their motto, Ad Majorem Dei Gloriam, for the greater honor and glory of God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.